Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 21. The king told Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring some young Israelite men from the royal family or from the nobility. He was to choose young men who had no blemish, who were good-looking, who had insight into all kinds of wisdom, who possessed knowledge, understanding, and learning, and who were capable of serving in the king's palace, in order to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them daily rations from the special food and from the king's own wine. He ordered that they should be trained for 3 years. At the end of training, they were to serve the king. In this group of young men were the Judeans Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief of the officials gave them new names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, Hananiah the name Shadrach, Mishael the name Meshach, and Azariah the name Abednego. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the special food of the king, or with the wine that he drank. So he sought permission from the chief official so that he would not have to defile himself. God made the chief of the officials favorable and sympathetic toward Daniel. Then the chief of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king who assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see your faces looking less healthy than those of the other young men who are your age? You put my life at risk before the king." Daniel said to the superintendent whom the chief of the officials had placed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Tell them to give us only vegetables, and we will eat them and drink water. Observe our appearance and the appearance of the young men who eat the special royal food. Then deal with your servants based on what you see." Then he listened to what they said about this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance was noticeably better than the others. They were healthier than any of the young men who had been eating the special royal food. So the superintendent permanently took away the special royal food and the wine they were to drink and gave them only vegetables. As for the 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and insight into all kinds of literature as well as wisdom. In addition, Daniel also understood every kind of vision and dream. At the end of the time which the king had set for them to be brought to him, the chief of the officials brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and none of the others were found to be comparable to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they served the king. In every matter concerning wisdom and understanding that the king sought from them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and spellcasters in his entire kingdom. So Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. The word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, where do your loyalties lie? Everyone has a loyalty to something. I'm sure many of you have a favorite sports team that you would support through thick and thin. You may have a favorite band that makes the best music that you've ever heard. Whether it be a favorite vacation spot, a favorite author, a favorite restaurant, or even a favorite cereal brand, everyone has a loyalty to something. In our readings for today, God asks us where our loyalties lie. In our sermon text, Daniel showed where his loyalties lied. He was to do something that the government asked him to do, something that would be against his God. But Daniel was loyal to his God. God doesn't tell us to pick between him and the government. In fact, God tells us that we are supposed to listen to him and also to our government. We are supposed to give the government what is theirs, but we are to give God what is God's. In our sermon text for today, Daniel and his three friends obeyed their government and gave them what was theirs. But this government wasn't the government of the place there where they grew up. This wasn't their own government. This was the government of Babylon. These 3 men and Daniel were shipped over to Babylon from Judah. The people of Judah were God's chosen people, but then these people disobeyed God, and God allowed Babylon to take them captive. But as we see in this account, God did not completely forsake his people. In fact, we see the hand of God guiding this whole story. We see God's hand guiding these men as they served their new king, Nebuchadnezzar. We read, "The king told Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring some young Israelite men from the royal family or from the nobility. He was to choose young men who had no blemish, who were good-looking and had insight into all kinds of wisdom, who possessed knowledge, understanding, and learning, and who were capable of serving in the king's palace, in order to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. These young men were taken from their country and were made to be servants of a new king. These people left their home. They were made to serve a new king. They had to meet new people, speak a new language, do everything new. They were in a new land, and I can't even imagine how this must have felt. This would be like if we were shipped out of here and taken to Iceland, and we had to serve their president. A new language, new culture, new people, this would be an extremely hard task. They even had their names changed. When they moved from Judah to Babylon, this chief of all the people changed their names. Now, their original names that they were given at birth reflected the true God, the one true God. But these names they were given in Babylon reflected the false gods of Babylon. But how did Daniel and his friends react? They served the king. They served their new country. They respected their government, and the Lord blessed them for that. The last verses of our reading say, "The king spoke with them, and none of the others were found to be comparable to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They served their king. In every matter concerning wisdom and understanding that the king sought from them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and spellcasters in his entire kingdom." So Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel served his government for around 70 years. 70 years, that's a lot of time serving a king that is not yours. Daniel served his government. This government wasn't his, yet it was still a government that he was subject to. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah served their king and gave their government what was theirs. We live here in the United States, a country that most of us were born into. We have many blessings in this country, and we obey our government. But have you ever stepped back and thought about why we serve our government, why we obey our government? You may think it's because of the freedoms we have from the First Amendment. Although that is a blessing, that is not the reason why we serve our government. The reason we obey our government is because it was instituted by our Heavenly Father. Our government and all governments of the world were instituted by God, and all authority in heaven and on earth is subject to the Lord, the ruler of all. Even if we don't agree with everything that our government does, God still asks us to obey them and respect them. In our second lesson from Romans, Paul tells his fellow Christians that they should be subject to their government and honor and respect their government. At first thought, you might be thinking, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Obviously, we listen to our government. We are subject under them. What's so big of a deal here? You might think that until you realize the kind of government that Rome was at that time. Rome wanted all Christians dead. Rome persecuted Christians for what they believed. This was the same government that would put Paul to death for teaching about Jesus Christ. Yet Paul still writes in Romans 13, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For no authority exists except by God, and the authorities that do exist have been established by God. For this reason, you also pay taxes, because the authorities are God's ministers who are employed to do this very thing. If Paul and the Christians of his time could respect their government, we can honor and respect our government today. Our government does the job that God established them to do. They punish wrongdoing, they keep order, they aid citizens, and we thank God for that, and we give the government what is theirs. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah gave up a lot when they served their government. They gave up their culture, their names, their way of life. They threw all these things away to serve a new king that was not theirs. But they were still subject to this king, so he was their king then. But even after serving this king and giving up all that they gave up, they would not give up one thing. They would not give up their Lord. Our text says that the men of Judah were given appointed food from the king's table. At first glance, you might think this was a great thing. I mean, that's like a feast every single day. If you're getting the things from the king's table, you know that's going to be the greatest food you've ever had. Except, these men did not eat this food because it would be breaking the laws their Lord had put in place. If they ate this food, it would be breaking God's laws for them. Laws not to eat this kind of meat, or this kind of meat that was sacrificed to the false Babylonian gods. This meat that was from the king's table was not prepared correctly according to God's rules, and them eating this food would mean they were breaking the Lord's law and sinning against God. We read, Daniel said to the superintendent whom the chief of the officials had placed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Tell them to give us only vegetables, and we will eat them and drink water. Observe our appearance and the appearance of the young men who eat this special royal food. Then deal with your servants based on what you see." So he listened to what they said about this and tested them for 10 days. Daniel was respectful when he asked the superintendent if he could eat these vegetables and drink water instead of eat the king's royal food. Instead, they asked to eat vegetables and drink water because they knew that these would not be breaking the Lord's rules. And lo and behold, verse 15 says, at the end of 10 days, their appearance was noticeably better than that of the others. They were healthier than any of the young men who had been eating the special royal food. God blessed his people when they obeyed his commandments and only did these things for God. They did not back down when their government tried to have them doing something against their Lord. Now today, God doesn't give us special diets about these special foods that we are to eat and not eat. But he does say that we are supposed to listen to God rather than human beings. If a human being tells us to do these things that are contrary to God's word, we must obey God rather than men. We should listen to God rather than our government if they tell us to do these things against our Lord. God does put this authority in place, don't get that wrong. But this authority is also sinful humans just like you and me. If authority tells us to disobey God, we must obey God rather than men. If authority tells us to harm our fellow man, we must obey God rather than men. If our authority tells us to worship these things that we know are against our Lord, we must obey God rather than men. God commands that we obey and listen to the authority that he has put over us, and we are to give them what is theirs and give God what is his. If we give the government what is rightfully theirs, we are not robbing God. But if we give the government what is rightfully God's, we are. We are to give God all of our glory, our praise, our worship. When we praise the government and its representatives for things that they have done rather than the Lord who has put them in place, that is putting them over God. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus tells us, "Therefore give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The problem comes in when we realize we don't always do that. We don't always give to God the things that are God's. In fact, we almost never give God what is His. We gratify our own sinful selves instead of our holy, precious Lord. We give ourselves the glory that belongs only to God. In an age where politics is a god to some people, we look to the government for the source of all blessings. We look to the government and we think that if we put this person in office, it will magically make everything better. We look everywhere in this world except the true source of every blessing, our Lord. We don't give God what He deserves. We don't give God what is His. However, we do know one man who gave God everything that belongs to Him. Our Lord and Savior Jesus gave God everything that was needed. Christ followed God's laws perfectly, and He lived a perfect life to give everything to the Father. He gave God everything, including His own life, as the price for our sins. We don't always have our priorities in check. We don't always know where our loyalties lie. How great and perfect a Savior we have, that He gave everything for our sake. Jesus gave to God what is God's, to give us what we did not deserve, eternal life in heaven with Him. In the end, loyalty to a sports team or a cereal brand really doesn't matter. Under the freedom and protection of our God and His chosen representatives, we can show where our loyalties lie in these situations. God gave us authority for our good. Even more so, He gave Jesus for our eternal good. He saved us from sin, death, and the devil. And when God asks us where our loyalties lie, we know the correct answer. We put our trust in God and in our Savior. We know where our loyalties lie. In our Savior Jesus, who was and is loyal to the end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.